Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover. Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When family is all that matters, make sure they're protected. Visit zurich.ie to learn more about life and serious illness cover.
Tweet at Drive Time RTE.
Now, the High Court has ruled today in a significant judgment that the state's failure to provide for the basic needs of homeless international protection applicants is a breach of their fundamental rights in a case brought by the Irish Human Rights and Equality Commission. Michael O'Neill, head of legal with the commission, joins us now in studio. And Michael, thank you very much for coming in to us this evening. Can you tell me firstly, why did the IHREC take this case?
Sure, Sarah. Thank you very much. So this was a really important case for the Commission to take. We didn't take it lightly. This is the first time in the history of the Commission, and we're 10 years old this year, that we've actually taken a case in our own name in this way. And the reason simply was that when we commenced this case back in December, there were just over 250 people, asylum seekers, who were not offered accommodation by the state. And at that stage, the state was of the view that it was meeting their basic needs, which is a legal requirement under Irish and European law. But it was very obvious, even at that early stage in December, 2-3 weeks after the first individuals were refused or weren't provided with an offer accommodation, that people were on the streets. And so we took that case. By the time the case was heard in May, that had increased by tenfold. So this is really about the lived experience of over 2,000 asylum seekers who did not have access to accommodation, many of whom did not have access to regular food or access to hygiene facilities, washing, the ability to use toilets. So it really is ultimately what the court has decided today is that there's been a breach of the fundamental right to human dignity. And what's really welcome in this judgment is that the judge has really focused on the lived experience of these predominantly men, but not all men. And we're talking about people who have come to this country and are simply destitute on the streets. And some really, really harrowing stories that we've heard ourselves and also from our partners, NGOs and other civil society bodies in relation to it. People who simply would come to talk to us and were so tired that we had to give them time to have a rest in our offices because simply it's the first time they felt safe for a period of time, just to have a nap before they actually could concentrate. Or people who were so hungry, hadn't eaten in days. So that's the reality. People hiding in parks at night because they were so traumatised, afraid of being attacked, some of whom had been attacked. So what this case is really about is a recognition by the court that the state has a legal obligation to provide for the basic needs of this group of asylum seekers, a group of 2,800 people, and that the state failed in the most fundamental of human rights, which is the right to human dignity.
Is there any legally binding outcome for the state on the back of this judgment?
Absolutely. This is a clear statement by the High Court that there has been a breach of fundamental rights. The judge has made clear that there is no need to make further mandatory orders because, in his word, there is no reason to believe that the state will ignore the judgment. So this cannot be business as usual. It is very clear that within the judgment that the current measures that are in place, €113 per week and a tent, is not sufficient for people to be accommodated. People need to have access to safe, secure accommodation. People need to have access to food, appropriate food. We have had really sad cases of people, for example, with diabetes, people with other medical complaints, struggling to be able to feed themselves properly. We recognise the wonderful work that's been done by NGOs and many people in that sector. But people need a dignified existence.
Okay. So in your view then, on the basis of this judgment, it's very clear to you from a legal perspective that the state has no choice but to change what it is doing.
Absolutely.
In how it's treating
asylum seekers. The court has made very clear that this is a breach of the most fundamental right, the right to human dignity.
Very interesting, different points to this judgment, and it's a very interesting judgment in its entirety, but a couple of different points that I thought that stood out to me. That the additional daily expenses allowance that is given to IPAS candidates does not allow a person access to basic housing. That's part of the judgment. So is that an aspect, for example, that you could see the state maybe having to make movement on, increasing that allowance?
Yeah, so it's up to the state as to how they will provide accommodation. We recognise the challenge, but the state has the expertise and the resources to make the best guess as to how that can be done in the most effective and cost-efficient way. What the court made very clear today was that €113 per week is not going to facilitate any individual to find any basic accommodation across Dublin or across the country.
Okay. And the court also said it doesn't accept the proposition that if a person is not identified as street homeless, it can be inferred that they have resolved their housing problems. I thought that was very interesting because we have heard from government representatives, particularly in the last couple of weeks and months, that those 2,500 or however many it is now at this point, IPAS candidates who don't have accommodation.
Well, let's take a broader look at
that they are not all homeless, that very few of them are homeless. But the judgment here is saying that just because they're not identified as street homeless, you can't infer that they have resolved their housing problem.
And that is especially welcome because our experience when we've spoken to asylum seekers is that many of them have had from time to time precarious arrangements. They've been allowed to sleep in a mosque or a member of the public has facilitated them to sleep either in a house or provided them with accommodation for a short period. But this is about a dignified existence. And for people who've travelled to this country, many of whom are already traumatised, to be worrying from day to day if they're going to be sleeping in the open or will they have an opportunity to sleep indoors, but only for a night or two. That is not a dignified existence. So we really welcome that statement by the court.
Out of interest, do you have any idea, Michael, how many of those, I think it's 2,352 is the number that I have, the latest number, it may be higher than that, but of those people who don't have accommodation, how many are homeless? How many have nowhere to stay? Do we know?
We don't know. I mean, we simply don't know. Okay. And the best source of data on all of this is the state. And this was an issue that arose in the case. It's the state who has the best source of data in relation to this. But what's very clear, and it's very clear, I think, to most people listening this evening, is that there are people living outdoors constantly at this time. And that just because somebody has provided one of those asylum seekers with limited access to accommodation from time to time in overcrowded or unsanitary conditions, for example, if an individual is, put into a situation whereby it's simply shelter, but it's not a regular accommodation, that simply isn't good enough. Okay. It's a breach of rights.
I know Micheál Martin, the thought that was responding to this a little earlier, he said he hadn't yet read through the full judgment, but he said, there are pressures that we acknowledge, but every effort has been made to accommodate as quickly and effectively as possible, and we will continue to do everything we can possibly do to fulfil our international legal obligations. We have to leave it there, Michael. It's an issue that we have covered extensively and no doubt we'll be coming back to it. But thank you very much
for
joining
us. Sarah.
That's Michael O'Neill, Head of Legal with the Commission.